The second Bible reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5:14 to 24, and it's on page 1049 of the Church Bibles. And we exhort you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't stifle the Spirit, don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it.
What I'm going to do is pray. Please join me. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, and we pray, Lord, as we spend time in your word, that it would speak to us, speak to each one of us, speak to our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, I'm looking at that passage. We had our memory verse. That's the kind of text we're going to look at. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I suspect many of us, when I first come to a passage like that, read through this, and let's just say someone was being extravagant when they were handing out verse numbers when they came to this passage. Three for one sentence, that's kind of quite extraordinary, I think. But there you go. I think that sometimes when we come to a passage like this, we might kind of go, yeah, sure, here are three things we're called to do, rejoice, pray, give thanks. And we might sort of think, in different circumstances, in different situations, we'll pull out the particular card and work that out. And so perhaps maybe the first song comes on and you think, this is not my favourite song. Yeah. So I put the rejoice card back in the deck and I go, I'll pull out the pray for the people who choose songs for this service. Maybe something like that. And in different situations, we kind of pull out one, put the others back in the deck. And as it's appropriate, we will rejoice. As it's appropriate, we might give thanks. As it's appropriate, we might pray, depending on what the situation is. But that's not what the passage says, is it? It is a word for every situation that this verse applies to. There's what Paul is saying is, this is what you always should be doing. There is never a time when you should not be rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. It is rejoicing always, praying constantly, giving thanks in everything. And I think perhaps it's not just that we're kind of called to this, it's actually we're commanded to do this. Paul is saying this is what we should be doing. And perhaps we hear that and think, how do you do that in all situations? It doesn't take too much kind of imagination to think of situations where you think, I'm going to find it very difficult to rejoice in that particular situation. I'm going to find it very difficult to give thanks in some other situations. And how does that work? And I wonder it's because we're missing something in the way that we view what we're going through, what we experience in life. Do you know that the human eye, apparently, I'm told, can distinguish over 1 million colours? Extraordinary ability to discern different shades of colour. But there is one colour that we can't see. Well, it's probably more than that, but there is a colour that we can't see that insects can see very clearly. It's a very important colour for bees and things like that. In fact, the colour is called bee purple. That's not a command, that's what the colour is called. Bee purple. Apparently, I'm told, it's a mixture of yellow and ultraviolet, and that's why we can't see it. It's sort of just outside what we can see, but insects see it clearly. It's actually one of the big colours that leads them to flowers, that we can't see it. Then, which is why, apparently, if you paint a nice picture of a flower, bees aren't interested, because it's the wrong colour for them. We can't see it. We're lacking the ability to discern that added dimension to how people view things. And there's a bit like when we come to a passage like this, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. There's sometimes perhaps something we're lacking in seeing. It's like we're colorblind to the gospel and how the gospel speaks to the various situations we find ourselves in. And so I think what we need is actually a sort of pair of glasses that will help us see, if you like, gospel glasses that will enable us to see clearly. Ah, I've got notes. It's fantastic. There. What do I mean by that? Well, I think Paul, in the letter of 1 Thessalonians, has been trying to remind them. He said, we went and started the church in Thessalonia. And so, if you like, gave them a gospel way of viewing life when he preached to them and they became Christians. And through this letter, he's trying to remind them of those sets of glasses. And I guess he's saying, if you have those glasses, if you're wearing gospel glasses as you go through life, then it will make sense, this command to rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything. Now, there's any number of ways I could say what are the gospel glasses, but let me kind of give you, to boil it down, maybe it's an oversimplification, but sort of 4 points, 4 big ideas that will help us view our lives through the gospel. First one is the truth that God is in control. We experience life, and it's certainly there's so much in our lives that's outside our control and outside human control. And so it's easiest for us to kind of assume that life is chaotic and that we are often caught at the forces beyond what we're able to manage. And that causes us concern. It causes us to panic. We feel at sea. We feel at a loss. But the Bible teaches us, the gospel teaches us, that God is in control. God is in control of all situations. God is in control at all times. There is nothing outside of God's control. All the powers of the world, all the things that happen in nature, they all come under God's control. God is in control. The second thing that the gospel teaches us is not just that God is in control, but that actually God is good. Astonishing claim, because you think so much of the experience of God is in control doesn't feel like this, but the gospel sort of tells us this. God is both in control, he is powerful, and he is good. He loves good things. He loves to give good things. He has his purposes in this world are for good. And what's more, to add a third thing to that, is that God knows you and loves you. So the God who is in control of the universe actually knows who you are. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situations. He knows each one of us. We are precious to him, he loves us, and he knows what's best for us. He knows what is good for us. Now, already you can start to say, you can work two ways when you experience things. You can work from your experience and assume that you know best, and you can say, therefore, one of these ideas must be wrong if something's going wrong in my life. So we work from that. We sort of assume that what we're experiencing and our understanding of that is the absolute truth, is the full understanding, and therefore we often work back and say, well, maybe God's not in control, or maybe he's in control, but he's not altogether good, or maybe he's good and in control, but maybe he just doesn't know me very well, or maybe I've just kind of flown under the radar. He's not aware of the situation I'm going on. We actually question these truths. But actually, what Paul would say, what the Bible would say, is we should work the opposite way around. Hold to these truths and say, therefore, I need to rethink how I'm understanding what I'm experiencing. The final step, which I've already shown to you, but the final kind of step in this final piece to the puzzle I want to suggest to you, that it help us to view the world correctly. God is in control. God is good. God knows you and loves you. And the first one is that God has given us Jesus. See, the God who is in control, who is good, who knows you, who loves you, knows what's best for you, and how has he responded to that situation? How in his power and love and goodness, what has he done for us? He sent us Jesus. Jesus is the greatest good we could have. Jesus is what we need. See, we now need to rethink everything we assume about ourselves, because we think we know what's best for us. We think we know what we need. But the gospel tells us God knows you better than you do. And you need to work from the truths of the gospel back to your experience. God is in control. God is good. God knows you and loves you. And that Jesus is God's greatest gift. Paul tells us in Ephesians that he's given us every spiritual blessing in heaven because he's given us Jesus. Jesus is the greatest good. He's the best thing we could ever have. He's the only thing we need. And see, when we actually look at life with those glasses and we say God's in control, God is good, God knows me and he loves me, he knows you and he loves you, and that in the mix of that, God has given us Jesus as his greatest gift, his best gift, the main gift, the source of all life and goodness, then suddenly what happens is that that verse begins to make sense. We can then actually look at what we're going through and we can say, in whatever situation we're in, that here is a situation, yes, I can rejoice. There are things to rejoice about here in this time. There are things to pray for. There are things to give thanks for. When God calls us to rejoice, and it's a big theme in the New Testament, to rejoice, to have joy. Christine was talking about the kind of the Psalms are full of the call to rejoice, to have joy. And that is to take joy in the things of God. There are lots of things that will give us joy, things that delight us, things that we kind of just can't help but bring a smile to our face, that warm our hearts. Maybe it's kind of, you know, if you've got a pet, something like that, your kids perhaps. Maybe it's your favourite meal gets sort of wheeled out and you think, oh, this is going to be a great meal. Whatever it might be. There are all sorts of little things that give us joy. But we need to train our hearts that actually we need to take delight in the things of God, in what he's given us in Jesus and what Jesus is doing in the world. Do we delight in that? The great Emily sharing about what God's been doing in her life. Do you know what? It's not me that went through that, but do I delight in that because God's at work in her life and what God has done for her? It's fantastic, isn't it? It's just heartwarming to hear her experience of coming to church. I have to say, I find it just sort of delightful to come to church to and just to see your smiling faces. You're all just looking at me very unsmilingly all of a sudden. But do we delight in the things of God and what God is doing in the world and therefore sort of see, if you like, put on the lens of glasses and see perhaps what we were blind to before, the way that God's at work, to rejoice and to pray. We often think of praying as just, we often use the word pray as a way of summarising all those things we do when we talk to God. And that's fine, but probably helpful to realise that the word pray specifically actually refers to asking of God, asking things, making a petition to God. Notice that the Lord's Prayer, there is no thanksgiving. Teach us how to pray, teach us what to ask for, and said Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, and it's a series of requests. God, give us A, B, C, and D. What are the things that we ask for? What are the things that we think we need? What Jesus was teaching his disciples in the Lord's Prayer is to teaching them, what you need ultimately are the things of the kingdom of God, are the things of the gospel. That's what you need. Pray for all things, ask for whatever concerning you, absolutely. But as well as all the things that concern us, as we sort of, you know, I hope I get a sort of parking spot because it's really busy. Yeah, sure. pray for that if you feel you need to, but there are more important things to pray for, aren't they? So rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Because you see, giving thanks recognises that God is in control and God is at work. And so it's giving thanks is actually seeing the hand of God at work in all that's going on. Giving thanks in everything is recognising that Paul says in Romans 8, all things work together for the good of those who love God. And so we can give thanks. See, when we have the gospel glasses that God is in control, God is good, God knows you and loves you and has given us Jesus, then we can rejoice. We can pray constantly. We can give thanks in everything. So let's take this for a test drive. Okay? Let me give an example. Imagine you get sick. You think to yourself, what can I rejoice in when I get sick? Yeah, obviously, what can I pray for? What can I give thanks for? Now, this is an easy one to pray for, right? I'm sick, what can I pray for? Yeah, pray that I get well, absolutely. But perhaps also pray that you might grow in faith through your hardships and through suffering, that God would teach you to depend on Jesus more. You can rejoice that no matter what you go through, no matter what sickness you have, no matter how bad it might get, that you have a future life that sickness cannot threaten. That any sickness you go through, even sickness to death, really in the gospel account, is only temporary. Because if you trust in Jesus, you have eternal life. And so the worst sickness that this world can throw at us is like a, I don't know, it's like a mild cold in the scheme of eternity and eternal life. It's going to pass, a couple of, you know, small period of time of a bit of annoyance. You can rejoice in that truth, right? And you can, there's so many things you could give thanks for. You could certainly give thanks for modern medicine, give thanks for those who care for you, give thanks perhaps if things improve in your health. There are all sorts of things you can, yeah, you're sick, you can rejoice, you can pray, you can give thanks. What about the flip side? Something works really well for you. You have a major success at school or in your business or whatever it might be. You do something really well. You win the grand final, whatever it might be. Well, you think, well, that's easy to rejoice in that sort of situation, isn't it? Yeah. Rejoice in those moments of joy, those things, those good things that God gives us in Christ. There's nothing wrong with enjoying those moments of success. But you also want to pray, perhaps, that God would give you humility in your success. Pray that God would help you to use your gifts for His glory. Whatever that might look like. And certainly give thanks for the way that He's given you these opportunities, because you recognize that the reason you've done well is not simply because you're a really good person, but because God gave you the gifts you have. God gave you the opportunities to use those gifts in that situation to achieve success. Whether things go badly or things go well, when we look at them through the lens of the gospel and recognize that God is in control, that God is good, that He knows you and loves you, and that He's given us in Christ, has given us Christ, then we can rejoice always. Pray constantly, give thanks in everything. Perhaps over morning tea, you might like to play this game of thinking of situations. What if this happened? What could we rejoice in? What could we give thanks for? What could we be praying for? And practice your faith muscle in those things. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank You that You love us, that You care for us, and that in Your love and care You've given us Jesus. We thank You that in Christ we have something that cannot be taken away from us. We thank You that in Christ we have the best of what You have to offer for us. We pray, Father, that You might so work in our hearts that we might not be distracted by the things of this world, but we might be delighting in the things that You do and what You've done for us in Christ. We ask, Father, you might help us to have hearts full of joy, dependency on you, and great thankfulness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.